2:7-12. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices, together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it, be pure. You who carry the articles of the Lord's house. A New Testament reading is John 1:1-14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Amen.
G'day, church family. If you could please have your Bibles turned to Isaiah chapter 52. That Bev just read. We're looking at verses 7-12. And then we'll look at the passage from John afterwards. You've got your usual outline there if you want to take notes. Let's pray that God will reveal his message to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for your word read. We pray that this morning that you would be penetrating our hearts and minds with the good news that we've already heard Lena explain to us. We pray that you would penetrate our hearts and minds so that we respond to that good news. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting that Ian mentioned TV. I hadn't spoken to him about what I was going to speak to, but my opening gambit is if you flick on the news on the radio or the TV, or you look at the news on the internet, which is what I generally do, on any given day, you'll be hit with headlines like this. Vladimir Putin issues warning about rising threat of nuclear war. That's happy, isn't it? Weinstein accuser hopes for justice as Hollywood mogul ordered to face court. And that's all to do with the Me Too campaign where lots of women are coming forward about how they've been mistreated by men. Donald Trump may claim he's defeated ISIS, but all signs point to the opposite. Growing calls for a re-vote in the Brexit campaign as negotiations stagnate. Farmers devastated by fires in Victoria earlier this year say it could be years before they get compensation. More people becoming homeless after being released from psychiatric care. Australians are said to be some of the richest people in the world, but 3 million of us are surviving on less than $22,000 a year. Lots of bad news, and on and on and on it goes. I did find some good news though. This is what I say from the internet when I flipped it. Singing and dancing, Barack Obama stands in for Santa at Children's Hospital. Isn't that nice? Australian cricket team wins the right way. No sandpaper needed. Right. Whatever news you might listen to, it does seem like the bad news outweighs the good news, doesn't it? The context of our Bible passage today from Isaiah 52 is it's bad news for the people of Israel. People of Israel, they're in exile in Babylon. Now Babylon is modern day Iraq. It's about 2,500 years ago. And God has allowed them to be exiled in that foreign land because they've been continually disobeying God's commandments and not worshipping properly, and in fact worshipping other gods. So the bad news is they are in exile. They have nothing but the clothes they stand in. The temple back in Jerusalem is in ruins and destroyed. The city is in ruins. They can no longer make sacrifices for their sins at the temple because there's no temple. How do you think they felt? Well, Psalm 137 tells us exactly how they felt. It's a psalm that some of you might know because of Boney M. Anyone heard of Boney M? Yeah. Here's how the first through few verses of Psalm 137 go. By the rivers of Babylon. All right, going to start singing? By the rivers of Babylon we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. Zion is a mountain on which Jerusalem's built. So they're in Babylon and they're remembering Jerusalem. Then it says, there on the poplars, on those trees, they hung up their harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. But they say, how can we sing the songs of the Lord while we're in a foreign land? They don't feel like worshipping God. They're too far away from the temple in Jerusalem. And there's not really anything to sing about. Being exiled in a foreign land, it's hardly a joyful experience. But in amongst all this bad news, the prophet Isaiah says, there's some good news coming. It's there in verse 7 of chapter 52. When he says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, that's Jerusalem, your God reigns. There is going to be some good news. Beautiful, happy feet are going to bring the good news. There's going to be peace. The people of Israel are going to be saved from this exile situation. And once again, the mountain of Zion, which is that hill in Jerusalem, once again, they'll be able to worship there. There will be peace with God. And they will be able to declare, our God reigns. God is still on the throne. He hasn't left us. He's always been there. Happy feet, bringing happy news, happy days. So how does this good news pan out for them? Well, that's in verses 8 to 12. Verse 8. the watchmen, that's those who've been watching and waiting for what the Old Testament prophets promised would happen, these watchmen have been waiting for this good news to come. And they're jumping for joy. I won't get you to do that, but you can do it later. Why are they jumping for joy? Because, verse 9 says, God has comforted his exiled people. How does God bring about this rescue mission? Well, verse 10 says, he lays bare his holy arm. That's a Hebrew way of saying God rolls up his sleeves before he starts work. And the idea is God's taking the initiative and he's stepping into history to bring an end to their exile. God is in control. And after 70 years of being in exile in Babylon, the great Babylonian Empire was now taken over by the Persian Empire. And it's King Cyrus of Persia who gives the nod for the people of Israel to return to their own land. And that's around about 516 BC. And God will show his power and strength, not just to the people of Israel, the ones being rescued, but to all the nations watching around, so they can witness how powerful the God of Israel is. And so then in verse 11 we have this picture of the priest and the people of Israel in great procession, leaving behind unclean Babylon and returning to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. Obviously there's a lot of work to be done. They've got to rebuild the temple and rebuild the city walls, but they're on their way back. And notice in verse 12, look how they're leaving Babylon. They're not running away in haste. It's controlled and peaceful. God's salvation always brings peace, and God is going before them every step of the way. Well, that's all great for Israel back in 516 BC. But what's that got to do with the people, particularly here in 2018? Well, our context, whether we realize it or not, our context is that we are in exile in our own Babylon. We are in exile because of our sin and rebellion against God. Sin and rebellion that leads to a broken relationship with God and ultimately, as Lena said, to death. Physical death and spiritual death. In spiritual exile from God. We're living in an unclean Babylon that mostly doesn't worship the one true God, just like the people of Babylon back in their day. Our context is crying out for someone to come and rescue us too. We might think our world in our context is not too bad. Oh, we have our tinsel and our toys, our Christmas lights, if they don't explode by the late storm we had recently, and our presents under the tree. We might have the things that provide us with temporary pleasure, and we might think that's enough. Our sinful hearts might think it's enough to hear Christmas carols on the radio or the TV, and to see the Christmas lights in the trees and in the houses, and to feast on Christmas roast dinners and cookies and cakes, and to receive a peck on the cheek under the mistletoe. But that's not enough. Such things cannot fill our hearts with peace. It's at Christmas that some people feel depressed and lonely. It's at Christmas that some people miss their departed loved ones who passed away. It's at Christmas when many are stressed out of their brains. The glitter of the holidays just isn't enough to keep peace in our hearts. That is not what Christmas is. Christmas is nothing, and we have nothing, if we don't have God's greetings of good tidings, if we don't have God's good news in our hearts. The bad news is that many in our context don't have the good news in their hearts. The bad news of sin and rebellion against God is crying out for God's good news. praise God in his wonderful grace and mercy. He's already provided the good news. He's provided a way out of our spiritual exile. And he's provided a way we can have peace with him right now. This is really good news. And we use the word gospel to describe good news. The word gospel literally means good news or good message. So from our New Testament passage from John chapter 1, which you can turn to there now, John chapter 1, we learn how this good news takes place. This passage speaks about someone called the Word. This someone called the Word is actually Jesus, God's Son. And this passage makes some stunning claims about Jesus, the Word. First, the Word is a creational God. This passage is saying that the Word, Jesus, was with God from the beginning of time, before creation, and it was this Word, Jesus, that created everything just by speaking. Not only did the Word create everything, but second, the Word gives life. The words of Jesus show us how to live a life that pleases God. And the words of Jesus show us how to obtain eternal life by believing in this word of Jesus, which is the word of God. Third, the good news is that the word brings people out of the darkness of sin. Because the words of Jesus are so powerful, they are like a torch shining the light in this dark world of sin and exposing what's against God. Jesus is the light, the torch of this world, guiding us back into the loving and obedient relationship with God. Fourth, the Word brings peace with God. It allows people who believe that Jesus died on the cross for their sins to be forgiven, and who believe that Jesus rose from the dead, it allows people who believe in Jesus' death and resurrection to become God's children and to be born of God, born from above, to receive the Holy Spirit inside them and to bring peace into their hearts. The really good news is that just over 2,000 years ago, the Word of God became a human being. Became human flesh in the form of a baby. Verse 14 says that Jesus stepped into human history so everyone could see God's glory. Jesus brought two things into this world, grace and truth. Grace and truth. Grace being God's undeserved favor, his free gift to us, and truth. Jesus defined truth as believing in what he says. So when Jesus says things like, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. And things like, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. When he says things like that, we need to take notice of his truths and believe them. Our passage today says that the response to the Word coming into the world was twofold. There were two responses when Jesus came into the world, just like there's two responses today. We either receive the word and be rescued and taken out of spiritual exile from sin and brought into God's family and become one of his children and get brought into paradise of heaven, or we reject the word and remain in exile, remain in sin and rebellion against God. They're the two responses. For anyone who hasn't received Jesus as the Son of God, as the one who can bring us out of the darkness of our sin and rebellion against God and bring us into the light. For anyone who hasn't believed, Jesus has the keys to forgiveness and life with God forever. Anyone here today who hasn't received Jesus, today would be a good day to receive Jesus into your life. It's good news. Now there are many, even in our local community, who don't even know about the Word. They don't know Jesus, and they've never heard of the two choices available to them, to either receive the Word or reject the Word. So I'd like to leave us with a challenge. I'd like us to be those beautiful, happy feet on the mountains. When we think of feet, we think of activity, motion, progress. Those who are active and moving and preaching and telling the good news of Jesus have beautiful, happy feet. We'll have a couple of those beautiful, happy feet at Cafe Church tonight, John and Jenna, who do that in Northern Territory. So my challenge is, a challenge that the Apostle Paul picks up on in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 to 15. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Now that's a promise we can claim. Everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved. But then he says, "But how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news." The Apostle Paul's point is, how can people believe in Jesus if no one tells them about Jesus? How can someone tell them about Jesus if no one actually puts one foot in front of the other and goes and tells them? God is calling each one of us this morning to be those beautiful, happy feet, bringing the good news. In our own context, we don't have to go to Darwin. We don't have to go to Northern Territory. We don't have to go further than our own context, our own neighbourhood, our own friends, our own family. But we do need to be those beautiful things. And Christmas is a good time to do this. Let's pray. Oh God, help us to be those beautiful things. Help us to bring the good news that you stepped into history 2,000 or so years ago and became flesh and lived with your people. And you grew up and died on a cross for the sin of the world. And then you rose again to show that death cannot defeat you. And you offer us it's good news that we can live forever and we are forgiven. But there are many in our community who don't know this. They don't know Jesus. They don't know he is the Word of God in flesh. They don't know he came to save us. They don't know this good news. Help us to be those happy feet. We bring them the good news this Christmas and beyond. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.